Rolling on Cap and J-Hood at 9 o'clock in the morning. Both teams in action today. Cubbies and White Sox will both play day baseball. Love the afternoon games. And the fine manager of the Chicago White Sox, Pedro Grifol, joins us now here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. Skip, good morning. How are you doing today? You go for a series win. A little banged up, but how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very, very well. A little concerned about all the injuries. Is this a shocker to you, or it's just part of the game?
Well, some of it's part of the game, and I don't think any one of them is a shocker. But, one of them, Timmy's, was just mis-executed rundown, So, but again, you're right. It's part of the game. It's early for it to be part of the game, but we are where we are, and we just got to have that next man up mentality and move forward.
Can you just explain to all of us how should that rundown have been executed to be proper fundamentally?
Well, they actually made the right call on that, because I don't think he would have turned a 5-4-3 double play right there with Michael Taylor running. So, it was a 5-4 and then getting a rundown, and what happened was, Timmy went right where you're supposed to be, and Alberto, once he threw the ball to Andrews at second base, just stayed in that lane where he needed to just veer off that lane and let the rundown happen between Andrews and Timmy, and that's where the ball came to Alberto. Alberto dropped the ball, then he tried to flip it to Timmy, and the runner kind of dove right into Timmy's knee. So it was just an unfortunate situation where, Timmy got hurt, in a botched rundown, really.
Pedro, you've been around baseball for a long time, so you know what it looks like when it's right defensively for a ball club. So what is your philosophy overall about working on defense and getting it right?
Well, we're working. The guys are out there working every single day. We were on a nice little run there defensively in the last few games. We've made some mistakes. These are being addressed. We were out there working yesterday. They'll be out there working today, and it's just one of those things where we gotta address these things, and we gotta go out there and work on them the next day and improve. And that's just a part of it.
Pedro Grifol is the manager of the Chicago White Sox. He joins Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Sitting in the other dugout with Kansas City, what did you notice most about the White Sox as a team?
Well, the one thing I noticed is the one thing that's not happening now is that, last year the energy part of it and the intensity part, was just off and on. And that's the one thing I can tell you. These guys are coming out. They're preparing with intensity and energy, and they're playing hard. These guys are playing hard. They're running hard. They're working hard. They're preparing for a game. We're meeting. We're going over clubs. We're going over the pitching. We're going over all the fundamentals that we need to go over on the opposing club and the things that we can do and can't do. So it's just a matter of putting it all together now and, getting the pitching and the hitting going at the same time.
Pedro, what do you expect out of Lucas Giolito? Last year, he came into camp, and we were like, wow, that guy's humongous. He was much heavier than he wanted to pitch at. He lost a lot of weight in the offseason. He has not gotten off to the best start, but we've seen him be an opening day guy, an all-star guy, a no-hit guy. What do you expect, and what are you trying to get from him today?
I'm expecting him to be that guy again. Everything that he's doing is trending in that direction. His bullpens are good. His mind's right. He studies well. He prepares well. He knows the opposing hitters. He knows himself. So I'm expecting him to get back to that form. I have complete confidence in him. When he takes the mound for us, knowing that not only he's going to go deep in games, but he's going to give us a chance to win every time he goes out there. So. That's what I'm expecting today, and that's what I'm expecting moving forward.
Pedro, when did you first start really falling in love with baseball? Because the reason why I ask that question is because I'm sure that your love for baseball, you can impart that to young players. So when did you say, this is the game for me, that I really love the sport?
Well, my dad took me to my first baseball game with my first baseball practice when I was 4 years old. You know, unfortunately for me, I had, you know, two sports that I loved, and I loved baseball and I loved tennis, you know, so I wasn't, you know, one of these kids that just played baseball every single day. You know, I mixed it up a little bit. And then when I had to make a decision right around, I think it was around 12 years old, you know, baseball was obviously the sport that I chose. And, you know, I just love the game. I love everything about it. I love to play it. I love to practice it. You know, and then as my career, you know, in the minor leagues started to, you know, go in a different direction, then, you know, my mind went to player development, and it went to, you know, teaching and managing and, you know, that type of mentality. So I've loved it probably since I was 4 years old. You know, the good thing is that I was doing something else too. It just wasn't baseball, so I didn't get burned out from it. And then once I got to about 12 years old, it was just strictly baseball. And this is something that I love. I have a passion for. I never get sick of it. I never get bored from it. this is what I do. You know, I do baseball, and I spend time with my family. This is just the two things that I do in life.
So, and we're talking to White Sox manager Pedro Grifol here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. What I find interesting is, I think you hit it right. Your club plays hard. There's some talent there. What has been the biggest surprise to you when you move over one seat? Now you're the guy. You're not the bench coach or the first base coach or third. They play vital roles. It's your team now. Wins and losses are on your ledger. What's the biggest surprise you found so far?
You know, the good thing is that my career took me to many different chairs, right? And this chair right here mimics a lot of different chairs that I've gone through in my career, which, you know, the administration part of mimics the farm directing. The managing part in the minor leagues obviously mimics, you know, managing here and managing winter ball. The coordinating part mimics the instruction and all the stuff that goes on the field and leading. And, you know, so there hasn't been really any surprises to this job. You know, the one thing that obviously is different is that, you know, you wear it, right? You got to wear it. You're the manager, and, you know, the club, the club's a reflection, you know, on you and your preparation and your motivation and what you're trying to do on a daily basis and your structure and, you know, everything. So you got to wear it. And that's the one thing that, you know, I go home. I love this game. I love this team. I love this game. I love this organization. I love what I do. You know, so I, you know, I'm hard on myself. And that's the one thing that I, you know, that I battle with. I don't see it changing. I'm always going to be that way. I just got to, you know, do a better job of, you know, flushing things and getting back here the next day and, you know, and understanding that, you know, today's a good day to start a winning streak, really.
Pedro, as always, we appreciate your time. Come back on the show again if you get a chance.
You got it. Anytime.
Have a great day. There he is, the manager of the fine manager of the Chicago White Sox, Pedro Grifol.
On the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
That guy cares, man.
Well, I like his perspective because I just want to know the origins of his baseball fandom. It's one thing to take a gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say, I'm next. I've been a bench coach for a while. I've been in the front office. Now it's my opportunity to be the manager. But I was just interested in finding out where it all came from. He had two sports he was interested in, which I did not know, tennis and baseball, which is a very interesting answer from him, right? Mm-hmm. But then just talked about his love for the game and how he played it and then got into the teaching aspect of it. And so I was just trying to figure out how his passion correlates to his players. Is that just another guy in the dugout, or is he communicating openly with the players to be able to get the most out of them? It's a long season, yes. But I think the communication still has to be, you know, has to be something that is prevalent in that locker room. There's veterans that's been there and done that. But it's always good to have a refreshing take a fresh perspective from a new manager. Maybe his love for the sport can permeate throughout that locker room. I don't know.
I like that he is, he says he's able to flush a bad loss and move on to the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a football coach and you lose a couple in a row, it's like the end of the freaking world.
Yeah.
You only play 17 of them. But if you're a baseball guy, you're playing every day. You cannot get torn up about a loss. You got a game 12 hours later. You got to be locked in and ready to go. He sounds like he's learned that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you're a manager. You win your first game. Everyone's congratulating you. The next game, you lose 6-3. And you think maybe the world's coming to an end. Or it's like, how do I come back? We got to win the next one. No, you lose the next one 6-4. Oh, we got to win the next one. Well, you beat the Astros 6-3. So it's the up and down of a season. It's not like he hasn't been through it. But as a manager, in that seat, as you mentioned to him, is totally different.
Totally different.
What about the injuries part, the first part of the conversation about the injuries?
That was interesting. I think he's probably a little bit befuddled. He says his guys are working hard. I mean, Yoan Moncada now looks like he's built for this, mm-hmm. physically. He's in great shape. He's athletic. He's always hurt.
Yep.
Like, what?
You understand my frustration with that, right? Or any Sox fans' frustration with that.
Yes.
You lost the deal, ultimately, the trade.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sale looks like he's not that guy anymore, but they won a World Series with him. He accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish there. He pitched them, as part of their staff, to a World Series championship. So, again, you still have Michael Kopech, you still have Yoan Moncada. So I don't think the chapter's been closed. My question is, why is he always hurt?
Yeah.
I talk to you all the time. There's a book everyone should read called The Grit Test. Or just, you can find it just under grit. Pete Carroll uses it to how he picks players. He said it's more than just ability. You can look the part. You can walk the part. When it's really tough, do you have the grit to be able to find the intestinal fortitude? He said the great ones do. Even the, like Jack Sanborn, he's got the grit test. Not the fastest, not the most. Those are that sandpapery type guy. I don't know. I don't believe Chris Bryant has that. I don't believe Yoan Moncada has that.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
By the way, Javi Baez is the second worst OPS in all of baseball. Second worst!
Yep.
Chris Bryant, what's he doing?
Yeah. Well, you unplugged at the right time. Actually, the wrong time, because it probably should have been earlier than that, but they're not in the ball club anymore, and
correct.
You weren't going to pay through the nose for guys that were underachieving.
Correct.
We saw that in the Cubs uniform, so there's no need to pay that guy or those guys.
Correct.
So, I get it.
It was time.
Yeah. All right, we'll take your phone calls, come up, your thoughts on what Grafal had to say, and the Bulls are playing for their lives tonight. Do you care?
Oh, boy.
We'll talk about it next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. The Bulls will take on the Raptors tonight. Cap is in the play-in game. And I know people look at the play-in and say, that's not really basketball. Well, it's not the regular season. It's not the playoffs. It's the play-in. To the point where those play-in stats don't really matter. They're not accounted for. It doesn't go to the regular season stats. It doesn't go to the playoffs stats. It's just play-in stats. So the Bulls will take on the Raptors tonight, and the Toronto Raptors are a 5.5-point favorite. Here's the one thing I want to say to the Bulls fans here. Of course, you and I are going to be watching at 6 o'clock to see what the Bulls are going to do. But are you only a fan if the Bulls win? Are you only a fan if the Bulls are deep in the playoffs? I mean, this is where they are right now. What we're seeing here at 40-42 is not a surprise to me. It is not. Because we talked about this before the season. You looked at that roster, and nobody runs it back like the White Sox or the Bulls. Just run it back. It'll be fine. No, you always have to add. You always have to look for talent. You just don't stand still and say, we're fine. Even the Golden State Warriors, where they are always looking to try to get better. You know what they do? They'll make a trade. They'll add more people. They have Kuminga. They got Wiseman out of there. They're always trying to figure out what's next for the organization. Those are the good teams, Cap. But this Bulls team, it's not. It's like, well, they're in the play-in, so I'm not going to watch, or I don't care. Of course, if you've had an emotional investment in the team, you want to see how the story ends or how it continues.
So the Bulls are...
Fair or not?
What fair. I said.
Okay.
And the Bulls are what you said. Let's run it back. Really? Really? Your point guard's injured. He's possibly not going to make it back to the start of the season. Nah, we don't need a backup. Get the Dragic kid. He's 35 or 36. We'll give him a couple minutes. He doesn't even last the season. How about all the shooting woes the team has? Milwaukee's got like seven guys that make threes. Eh, overrated. That's why you're playing as the 10 spot in a play-in tournament. You know, if you look at the team, leave Lonzo to the side and go, they didn't have their best guys all year. Zach played the third most minutes of any player in the NBA. He played 69 straight games. Mm-hmm. Stop with the knee is bulky. His knee is fine. DeMar DeRozan, who's in his mid-30s, love him. He played the eighth most minutes in the NBA. Nikola Vucevic, he played all 82 games. He's a beast. He's not an all-pro. He's a really solid player. Just a good player. Good guy. Your team isn't good enough. I think they lose tonight. You think they win. I think they lose.
Well, I guess the question is, are the Bulls ready to go home? After this 40-42 team, pretty much teeter-tottering around the season. As a matter of fact, this ball club, Cap, has never won more than three games in a row this season. They never won more than three games in a row. That's how bland and beige this team has been all season. And even though I can look at the numbers to tell you, you know, Vucevic over the last 10 games and Levine over the last 10 games has really been able to play really well. And the defense has gotten better with this team since the All-Star break. Thank you, Patrick Beverley, because I think that he's part of that, the tip of that spear as well. But still, I expect the unexpected from this team. You know, again, once you think that they're going to be down against an upper echelon team, they find a way to win. I think Toronto's in the middle of the pack. They're just, you know, they're just an okay basketball team. But I think the Bulls will have enough to win. I think that Beverly can be a factor for them. But I guess my overarching point about this is that I'm not going to give up on the team or give up on the play-in tournament just because the Bulls are out there. It's been hard to watch this season at times, for sure. But I'm not going to give up on them.
Well, I enjoy watching them play. I love when I know in the middle of the winter, oh, man, I got a Bulls game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoy it. My wife sits on the couch. She's not all locked in on the NBA, but it's on every single game. And I'll be disappointed if they're done. I just don't think they win tonight.
Yep.
And I put, look, when you're the head coach, you're always going to get blame. He would tell you. That comes with the territory. I think the front office did an awful job preparing to go from last season to this season. And that falls at the feet of two dudes. Really one. Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. There is nothing they could say to me that tells me that they knew what they were preparing to do this season. Nothing. They did not put a team out there that I feel like had a realistic chance to try and win. Were they going to win a title? No. But how about building? You know what? We've got to get more shooting. That's where we struggled last year. And we don't know Lonzo's health. He never made it back. We probably ought to get a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't either.
Yeah.
And you know basketball, those
yeah.
dudes?
Yeah.
Stop yourself.
Shay, all I'm telling you is that there is value of getting to this point. I'd rather be where they are now than, you know, having this front office to choose the future of this team. This front office, absolutely not. The only way this changes for me as watching the Bulls is that if that front office changes and if you want to tank, then you have someone with some insight on how you could be able to rebuild this team quickly, you know, with young stars. If Levine or DeRozan and Vucevic aren't there, you know, that's one thing. But this front office taking care of a tank, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't care about being here at all. I didn't. I'll tell you both. I didn't watch the play-in games last night. One, the Lakers game was on too late. I was long asleep. I didn't watch. I don't care about the play-in tournament. I don't care that the Bulls are in it. This is a league that incentivizes losing if you're not good enough to win at all. They're not good enough to win at all. Getting here and either winning two games, Cap, I frankly don't believe you even want them to win tonight. Like, as I know you say as a fan, you probably do. I can't believe, imagine you care. I don't care. I don't care if they win tonight, because what you get the gift of the Bucks assassinating you, and you get nothing out of it.
Well, then you know what? Then I would say that 75% of the teams in the NBA should just close up shop then.
They should.
Okay.
Because otherwise,
Hold on. 75% of the teams should stop trying to play hard? That's good.
That's what the league does. Yeah. That's the ping pong balls. You should stop trying to win if you aren't the Bucks or the Celtics or the Suns or the Warriors. You shouldn't be trying to win games. You should be trying to get Victor Wembanyama.
Okay.
Otherwise, what are you doing? You're going to be the Bulls.
That's no way to run a franchise. Absolutely.
But it's what the league has done.
No.
That's my problem with the NBA a little bit. It's why you see guys sit out. It's why you see Dallas tank their way out of a play-in. That's why I hate this league now.
You're telling me that the Laker game wasn't wildly entertaining last night? Wildly entertaining.
It was entertaining. But I'll say this, that if you're running a business and you're not at the top of your business, of course, you're always trying hard to get to the top of that of the business. You're trying to be at the top, the apex of whatever you do, right?
Correct.
So if you come in second or third place, do you say, well, we can never get to the top, so we'll just fold it up?
But trying. If you're like, if the Celtics lose in the conference finals, that's fine. They have two guys who are all-stars, one who's going to win an MVP. But the Bulls don't have that. Okay. If you don't have that on your team, you should be trying to get it. And the way the league has made that possible is bottom out. You got to bottom out to go up.
But again,
that's the NBA.
Well, let me tell you also what the NBA is. The NBA also is pretty much predicated on maybe four or five teams that can actually win it all. What you're telling me is that the rest of the leagues just always go for the number one pick.
Yes. Yeah, and that's not you. No.
No, you don't own a team to think that, well, if we're not number one, then you know what? If you're first, you're last. That's nonsense.
And try running a business that way. You can't run a business that way.
You can. They have record high attendance this year. The Kings bottomed out. They're in the playoffs. Memphis bottomed out. You get Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Now you're the two seed in the West.
And it took 16 years for the Kings to get there.
But it works.
No.
Otherwise, you're just the Bulls or the Pistons, and you're the eight seed forever, and you never get anything.
So in your viewpoint, though, you're talking about the Kings. Yeah, they got to the playoffs, but because they can't beat Denver or can't beat Milwaukee, they should also bottom out because they'll never win the championship either.
But they're not in the play-in either. They're not going for a 10 seed and this garbage where you have the max slots full because you have to. Like, this is, Hoodie, what I'm telling you is...
Poor Cavs, poor Knicks.
I'm not telling you that I like it.
They should just fold the tent, yeah.
I'm not telling you that I like that this is the way you win. This is why I hate this league now. It's all about filling your max contract slots. It's all about getting the ping pong balls. It makes it unwatchable more nights than not. But if you're not doing those things, you're going to be the Bulls, and you're going to be in the eighth seed every year, and Giannis is going to assassinate you every year.
Well, that's
that's not fun for me.
Well, first of all, that's a front office issue, as we've documented on the program. That's a front office issue, number one. And number two, unless you have difference-making talent, more than one, by the way, in the draft or free agency, you're always going to be spinning your wheels. Very few teams in the league can be able to get those assets, to be able to hit on the draft, a number one pick in the draft, and be able to win a championship. That doesn't happen all the time. You have to be able to be a better organization than that. What he's telling us is that teams that are in the middle, that are in the playoffs, should just fold the tent.
Yeah,
no, it's nonsense.
Like, I'm looking back 11. I'm going back through Sacramento's history.
They haven't won in 15 or 16 years getting in the playoffs. You got to go back to Adelman.
They have not had a number one pick in decades.
Charlotte going to the same situation.
They had Keegan Murray. He's not a franchise player. He went fourth. They had Marvin Bagley. Not exactly a franchise player. He went second. Other than that, they haven't had a top four pick in 11 years. So what are we talking about here? Sacramento didn't tank their way to where they're at. They made a smart trade.
It's bad organization. Bad ownership.
Exactly. They're poorly run. They finally made a smart trade. They moved Halliburton, who I like, to Indy, and Sabonis is there, and he's a really good player. Really good.
I'm sorry that everyone can't get dilly bars and win every championship for every team that's in the NBA.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Excuse me. Could I see Coach Thibodeau, please? Yeah, we have no chance of beating Milwaukee, so I want you to start tanking. Stop.
And by the way,
you run a business.
And by the way, that has been the case not just this year. It's been that way for a long time. The championship stays around in one organization for a couple of years, two or 3 years, in a dynasty, and it moves over to someone else.
San Antonio, Chicago.
Lakers? Yes,
the Lakers.
So, I mean, the idea that if you're second or third, or if you can't beat Giannis, if you can't get past the Golden State Warriors, that you just fool the tent, I don't believe in that. I do not. 312-332-3776 our phone number. The Bulls are a whole different kettle of fish, though. I want them to change their organization. Because if you're going to tank, do it with people that know how to get it done. To find the right guys via in the draft in particular.
Rafael Sabal on Twitter, who listens every day. So, at Shay Norling, you don't like the NBA because of tanking. You hate it. But think teams should tank.
Yes, but that's the point. The NBA has made this the process. That's my problem with it. But it doesn't mean that don't do it then. Otherwise, like, where are the Bulls picking in the first round this year, Cap?
I'm hoping they're top four protected. I'm hoping that they get their pick. Yeah, they got to get lucky.
You needed more ping pong balls because you're not.
The Bulls.
What does drafting Marvin Bagley do for me? That's
who
he went second.
It's Scoot Henderson or Victor Wembanyama. It's two generational guys. Marvin Bagley wasn't getting this kind of hype. You should have been getting ping pong balls.
He went second in the draft. There were a lot of people thought he was going to be a hell of a player. I didn't, but a lot of people did.
But even if you're picking anybody, it's better than not picking anyone at all. And now because you won games and you get to get your head taken off in a play-in game, well, now you don't pick anyone, so have fun. You're going to be the 8th seed again next year. We'll be right back here pissed off. Probably they'll fire another general manager, and then we're going to be in the same boat.
Well, now you're talking. Firing the general manager means progress. It also probably means that you're going to unload some of those salaries in those players. If that's the direction you want to go, fine, but not with this organization the way it's set up. Absolutely not. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Bulls are stuck in the middle. We're talking to you about it on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Let's take a look at the headlines for today. How about the Cubs? The Cubs won an absolute barn burner at Wrigley Field yesterday. They trailed 7-1 in the third, and the Cubs put together an 8-run inning. It capped off by Nelson Velasquez grand slam. 14-9 victory for the Cubs against Seattle. Also, the White Sox, they lost their game in 10 to the Minnesota Twins. Lance Lynn was on the mound, and he allowed 3 runs. Luis Robert tied the game at 3 with a 400-foot bomb in the 9th, but the Twins walked it off for the 10th. It'll be Sox and Twins again, 11:30 pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. LeBron James and the Lakers advanced to the NBA playoffs last night with an overtime victory against Minnesota. Also, Atlanta defeated Miami. The Bulls will have their chance to advance in the play-in tournament tonight in Toronto. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Imagine that guy is an owner.
Which guy?
Shay.
Yeah.
Miami bought him out. You know who they got? Jabari Parker. They got Giannis at 14. Has nothing to do with bottoming out. Nothing.
No, but it has.
Where
to
did Nikola Jokic go? Second freaking round.
But Cap, the point is, one, this front office ain't drafting Jokic in the second round, and two,
he did. He was part of the group that drafted him in Denver.
They don't have a pick at all. The only way they were getting a pick is if they bottomed out. And if there's any year to do it, it's when Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama are in the draft. And they chose not to. But my broader point is, this is why I hate the NBA. Because you see things like Dallas, where an organization we're supposed to take seriously is shutting it down so they can get more ping pong balls.
It's no way to run a business.
And that's, but it is.
It is not. It is absolutely not. Miami never bottomed out. They made some smart trades.
They also have one of, like, two coaches that can make things happen.
You keep coming up with excuses. I'm giving you different teams that do it differently. There is not a Shaquille O'Neal or a LeBron in every draft. There isn't.
You're also hinging everything on banner or no banner. The Sixers bottomed out. They got Joel Embiid. Now they got to stay healthy and win something, but that's how it happened.
They haven't even gotten to a finals with him.
The Celtics didn't they bottomed out for 1 year, but they did the trade that got them all the picks, and it turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They've been a perennial contender in the East now.
Okay, that's one team. Milwaukee's best player, two-time MVP, went 14th or 15th in the draft.
Yeah, middle of the draft in the first round, yeah.
It has zero.
The Cavs bottomed out. It got them Kyrie and the fuel to get LeBron back.
Okay, you got the one championship. And
that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, but again, just to lay out my thoughts about the NBA as a whole, my whole thing is that just because you are in third or fourth or fifth in the East or West doesn't necessarily mean that you should not be in the playoff picture or it's win or bust. I don't believe that. I never believe that. Because ultimately, if you just watch the NBA has never been predicated on, my God, there's 12 or 14 teams that can actually win it all. It's not the NFL. It's not. The NBA has never been that because the championship stays in one spot for a while, whether it's Golden State, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Detroit, whatever it is. It's always been that way. All I'm telling you is that if you're a team that's in the middle, like the Cavs, like the Knicks, you know, teams like that, Sacramento, first time in 15 years in the playoffs, Phoenix, the Lakers, I mean, there's value to getting in the postseason. And again, the as you said, the panacea, or the elixir to be able to fix your team is not always the first round pick. We believe that Victor is going to be great. You look at the size, all the intangibles, sure. But again, it's about organizational structure. I mean, this is a player's league, yes. But also, it's about organizational structure and the philosophy. You can bring in a kid, but what are you doing in free agency? What's your culture? That all matters also.
Player development is a huge thing, and that's where I think the Bulls are so sorely lacking.
See, I feel like we're talking about two different things here. When it comes to the Bulls, I've been very clear with this. To me, and we've gone round and round about this, there is value of getting into the playoffs. We know what the play-in is in here for, is to be able to get more money, to get more eyeballs on the product.
Correct.
To give almost a second chance for a team that's been bad or mediocre all season. That's why it's in there. It doesn't bother me. I know when the playoffs start. These are just play-ins. To me, it's like the first four in the NCAA tournament. Do you watch? No. Or I mean, usually not.
I don't watch the first four.
Well, that's what it is for me.
Correct.
Like, I'm an NBA fan, so of course I'm going to watch as much as possible. But that's what it feels like, the first four. When the playoffs start, when the bell rings, I'm ready for it. But with this Bulls team, again, I'll underline it for everybody. There is value of getting into the postseason. I know what's going to happen here if the Bulls get in. They'll have a gentleman sweep. They'll get bounced out by Milwaukee. But it doesn't mean that you shut it down, especially with this organization. Absolutely not. Until you change the front office, I can't trust Connor Chauvis to say, you know what, we're just going to tank it. I'm going to preside over it. Him? Absolutely not.
But can I flip the coin and say making the playoffs, if they get in, maybe gives Connor Chauvis more life in that front office? Like,
playoffs?
That could be part of the problem. If you have to miss to get him out, then miss.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what the value is in making the playoffs, Hood. Is it because unless I'm Michael Reinsdorf and I'm getting the ticket revenue, I don't get any personal value out of it. I get to watch the Bulls lose.
Call me old school, but as a fan, I've always wanted my favorite teams to be in the postseason. We don't get that often around here.
Correct.
And I don't take it for granted either.
You know, I'm looking like at the West. Who did Denver tank to get? Nobody.
No. You're a great, really solid organization.
Memphis? Okay, they got Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento? I don't see anybody they tanked and got. They just finally put a decent regime in there.
Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are fantastic.
Correct. They made a trade for Sabonis.
I don't guard anybody, but they can score.
Phoenix?
Sure.
Who did Phoenix tank to get? Nobody.
They had Ayton a few years ago in the draft, and ultimately
he's okay.
That their success is predicated on if Durant can stay healthy or Chris Paul.
Who'd the Clippers tank to get?
They just got Paul George and Kawhi
in trades.
Yeah, and Paul George is out for the first round of the
Golden
playoffs.
State. Who'd they tank to get?
They bottomed out to get back
Steph
up there.
Curry was like the 7th pick. Klay was the 11th pick. There's no tanking there. Gave you the top six teams.
There was a bottoming out because of the injuries that they suffered. Like, it took 2 years for Klay to get back to be close to 100%.
Lakers didn't tank to get anybody. They signed LeBron as a free agent, and they traded for Anthony Davis.
But the point, well, they're also in L.A. Like, you can't use the Lakers because if you want to
hang out. You have an excuse for every single team I give you.
But if we're talking organizational structure, they were the worst run team in the NBA for 5 years after Kobe retired.
Okay, then why didn't Minnesota tanked? They got Karl-Anthony Towns.
They got Karl Anthony Towns number one. They're the eight frickin' seed. Eight.
Memphis tank, they got John Morant. Whether it works or doesn't work, the point I'm making is the Bulls don't have the pick 10 to get Clay. They don't have any pick. They aren't anywhere in the first round. You can't operate that way.
Well, first of all, you don't know that. They still have ping pong balls.
They're not getting top four. They're not going to get top four.
Okay.
You don't know that. Unless the envelope's frozen and they want Chicago to get a good player.
You don't. Again, it's not an absolute. You don't know that. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the top 10 teams here. And of the ones that tanked, Minnesota got Karl Anthony Towns. They lost the playing game last night. Number 10, Oklahoma City. Who'd they tank again? Nobody. New Orleans, they got Zion. Let me know how that's working out for them as the 9.
Okay,
Milwaukee, their best player, went 15th.
What are we talking about? Because all I've ever said is there was one pathway for you to semi-guarantee that you're going to get a pick in the top four. That was to be really bad. And that was also the only way you were going to get your first-round pick. That was it. That's all I'm saying. By being the 10 seed, they're in a much worse position. That's all I'm saying. There, if they hadn't tanked and LaVine worked out and they're a top four seed, then yes, you're correct. But they're the 10. There's no,
you're saying that if you're not one of the four or five teams that we believe can win a championship.
I'm saying for the Bulls, if you don't have a first round pick because you're not that bad, but you're not good enough to win anything, then you should just be that bad and get the first round
pick. But I'm giving you multiple teams that don't have high first round picks.
I don't care if it works. They don't have a pick otherwise. I'm saying I think they picked the wrong lane because at least if they had been bad, they might get a pick.
Shay, I'm giving you team after team that did not pick a player high
all the time, but this isn't working. What they have right now isn't working.
Well, then make an astute trade
or fire somebody.
Oh my God, they just did that
change.
And I've been the one who wants regime change here. They just changed GMs 2 years ago. You as an owner, you just be changing them like you change underwear. Ah, get him out. He sucks. Get him out. He sucks.
Eventually, maybe I'd hire the right one.
Damn,
it's not a way to run a business. I'm giving you team after team.
They're making money. The attendance is through the roof.
I'm just giving you team after team that did not hit the lottery for an unbelievable player at the top of the draft. Team after team.
I understand that.
So
team after team that got Klay Thompson at pick 7, and the Bulls don't have pick 7 either.
And I'm just telling you, Shay, that from your philosophy of what you like to see the Bulls do, I just don't think that that's feasible under this regime. And I don't think it's feasible under this head coach. I'm telling you that with perspective because I think we all know what Billy Donovan is. What you're saying is that that might be fine for Charlotte. That might be fine for Detroit. But it's not happening here. And not with this regime. That's why Billy Donovan came here. If there was going to be your game plan, Billy Donovan wouldn't be the head coach. And you know what? For some Bulls fan, that's fine. I think that that means a young coach. That means you're building towards something.
It would have been like Steven Silas or... Oh, God. Unseld's kid.
Yeah. Unseld Jr. Yeah.
Those were the Ime Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the guys they were talking about until, Billy Donovan's leaving Oklahoma City. I'm coming on Friday. We're getting this done and we're putting this thing back together. I can tell you what my take's going to be when they lose tonight. I believe they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think the play of the game for me is going over in the total. Mm-hmm. I think it's 213. And if they lose and they're out, I will come in here tomorrow and go, I hope you change your general manager and your executive VP.
No question.
I've been screaming that for a long time.
I understand both of your points.
Do I think they will? No.
Let me make sure it's clear. I understand both of your points, and Shay, yours in particular, because there are a number of teams that have been found success. And success may not be the NBA championship. Success might be we're a perennial playoff team now. Now we're in the mix. We just need to add on. But just understand from the organization that we're seeing right now, they're not willing to do what Shay wants.
They're just not.
Because Billy Donovan is a coach, Billy is not going to coach kids. He's just not. He has kids on the roster today that he won't play. I mean, when you're struggling to try to find shooting and Dalen Terry sit on the bench as a cheerleader?
He can't shoot.
I mean, seriously, though. But this is why Dalen Terry is a perfect example of why the Bulls need to change their regime.
Agreed.
I mean, wholeheartedly. It's that way you get what you want where the team is on the rise, moving up. You're talking about the what we've seen in the past with the NBA and where you didn't necessarily have to tank or get a top pick. Again, the Bulls are not in either one of those scenarios.
Right, they're just stuck in the middle. Yeah. That's why I think they were at a decision point. You could tank and try to get your pick, or you could make an astute trade and try to get better and compete. They did neither of those things. Now I think you probably have to fire somebody.
But my point is, if they get their pick, if they got Wembanyama and it was a lightning bolt like Derrick Rose.
Nothing's guaranteed, I get that, but I'd rather have the lottery ticket than not.
Hey, what's up, Dalen? Man's a little shout out.
You keep out of there with your shout out.
So funny.
Power 92.
It's just
short of getting Victor Wembanyama. Who's in that draft that you're going, oh my God?
Shout out to my man, Dalen Terry. You know what I'm saying? A new wedding chapel in Vegas. Also, the Cap and J Hood cut of the day on the Cap and J Hood morning show.
I'm exhausted.
Welcome back to Cap and J Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Did you know Adam Amin went to Valparaiso? Did you know that?
Yep, I had him in one of my Valpo commercials a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Amin.
Time now for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Hey, Bort.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And there's a new challenge trending on social media. The 9x9x9 challenge. 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings. Shot or no shot, I can do this.
No shot. And why would you want to? That sounds horrific.
I will say Shane Norling.
Now, one proviso, you can't puke.
East or West.
You can't rally.
If I puke and rally, then it was an unsuccessful attempt. I have to get through the entire thing without throwing up.
Correct. You're a vomiter?
No.
No?
We're kind of quiet. Why is that so funny?
I think it's hilarious.
I don't know, Shane.
I know if I went out, like, I can't do it.
Any condiments on those hot dogs?
No, they got to be plain. Here's the question.
There's no sex in this. We're talking about eating and drinking. What are you talking about?
He said condiments, not condoms.
What does he say?
Condiments.
Can I dunk the buns in the beer? I don't want to dunk them in water. I feel like that's cheating. But if I dunk them in the beer, is that cheating? Go Joey Chestnut. And then I think the strategy is you just power through 9 hot dogs right off the top before you let yourself get full. Then you got 9 innings to sit in that while you go through the beers.
God, it just sounds so awful.
That's the sound of Shane Norling as the hot dogs drill into his stomach. And right out the old pooper.
And that's all, folks.
And that is proudly presented by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
David Flom and Matt Moore's dining creation. That's exactly correct. Absolutely 1,000% my favorite restaurant.
And finally, folks, a story about a new wedding chapel in Vegas. Here's Shay Norley.
You'll never guess this one, Hood. The new wedding chapel in Vegas is the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
No.
They have set up an outdoor location where they have put chairs out. They've got a nice little flower arrangement, an arch, and it's all taking place right in front of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile for 2 days. First come, first serve. You can book your elopement and get married in front of the wiener.
If you're part of the expression.
Your elopement.
No, meaning married in front of the wiener.
Correct. Would you ever elope? Did you ever consider that with your wife?
And
you got married here in the city.
Yes.
But did you ever consider eloping?
That was not a consideration because we had to have her wedding.
My wife wanted to elope. I said no.
Yeah, no. We had to have her wedding. I was happy to be there, though. It's good to be there.
Just tell me where to be.
Yep. So no, we had to have her wedding.
I played golf in the morning. Got married at 11:30.
400 people. Big time wedding. A lot of stars
400?
There.
400?
Yep.
Holy bleep.
Yep. Big time wedding.
I teed off at 7, got married at 11:30.
All the stars were there. It was fun. Almost a little red carpet there. We had our wedding at the same place as Soupy Sales with Duke Comedy. It was awesome. We thank you for listening and
Mill
calling.
Run.
And no, Drury Lane.
Drury
Lane. Thanks so much for listening and calling and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Shay Norling. Our thanks to Jay Moore on the other side of the glass. you know what tomorrow is? It's a Deal Breakers Thursday.
And it's also Good Karma Wrestling Thursday.
Make sure that you're with us at 7. We'll talk to you tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Have a great day. Take that.
From Chicago.